Welcome to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church of Moraine, Ohio. In the Bible, in Psalms chapter 119, verse 130, the Bible says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." We pray that the Holy Spirit would give you light from the Word as Pastor Tom Gresham brings the message today.
Numbers chapter 26, verse 9, the Bible says, "And the sons of Eliab, Nemuel, and Dathan, and Abiram," this is at Dathan and Abiram, "which were famous in the congregation, who strove against Moses and against Aaron in the company of Korah, when they strove against the Lord, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah. When that company died, what time the fire devoured 250 men." Now look at this. "And they became a sign." What kind of sign are you? They became a sign. Isn't it interesting? We'll say that when something happens that makes an obvious point about something, we'll go, "Here's your sign." Yeah. Amen? He said, these folks here, I mean, I don't know about you, but the earth opening up and swallowing, not just that there became a sinkhole, there was the earth opened up, they went down, and then it closed back up. Amen. That's a sign. Here's your sign. Amen? I mean, pay attention, you know. Driving down the road, and I know, you know, a lot of you do some travel and stuff like that. It's amazing even just the signs you see when you're driving down the road. You know, signs have a purpose. They do. They give you information that help you on the journey of life. They can help keep you from danger. They give you directions. They give you instructions to help you on your way. Disregarding signs can be very dangerous and even fatal. You think about road signs. I mean, some of the common ones around town, stop. Yeah. It's a good thing to do when there's a sign that says stop, isn't it? Yeah, people die all the time. People run stop signs. Pay attention. Yield. I tell you what, one thing about driving on the highway, there's a whole lot of people who do not understand that sign. This one cracks me up because I know what they're saying, but it says slow children at play. I always say, why do you always advertise slow children? You know, sometimes how they make the sign. School zone. I mean, you know what's happening. You see a sign that says school zone. Driving through the mountains, it's really interesting. You see the sign that says truck escape ramp. As you get out through those mountains, then you see that ramp goes up the side there. You know, I thought, I wonder how many people have died because they trusted that they could get through without using that ramp. Because using that ramp means you ain't got no brakes. You ever go down a mountain without no brakes? In a truck, like a semi, it's only going to end in disaster. How many times does God give us a way to escape and we don't take it? Amen? And then we wonder what happened. How about where it says emergency stopping only? Or is it not safe just to stop and take in the view? You know what I'm saying? Or how about no re-entry northbound? So I thought about this. You know, sometimes you get out in sin, you may get on a place, there ain't no way coming back. You can get off into some stuff, Chris, ain't no coming back. Amen? Slower traffic, keep right. Of course, speed limit. Nobody likes that. But disregard it, and the guy with the blue lights will help you out with that. How about one that I know we all like to see on occasion, rest area? Amen? I always love it when we're taking a trip, we pass the rest area, and then 5 miles later, everybody's like, "Hey, I got to go to the bathroom." It's like, what do you think that rest area was for? Yeah, that's the next sign you don't want to see. Amen? Road work ahead. And that's like, oh. Be prepared to stop. Watch for ice on the bridge. It's funny, sometimes you go down south and you see that and you're thinking, would you guys even get ice here? You know? How about falling rocks? You think about that, boy, you're going down through life. I mean, everybody pay attention to falling rocks around you. Who are you hanging around? Are they a fallen rock? Amen? How about toll plaza? Yeah. And I was going down there last time, I mean, before the COVID, I went down there going to Mount Airy, the toll plaza, it was $2. Pulled up there, that sucker was $4. Like, dude, that's highway robbery. Literally. I'd have felt better if they'd pointed a gun at me when I pulled up. Okay, here's your money. I feel better, you know? How about when you see one in memory of, you're going down the road and you see a memory of stuff where folks have crashed. Or you come across one that says a memorial bridge. Tells you folks died along the way. Amen? You know, there's all kinds of advertisements you see, and it's meant to inform you about things. And it's really funny how the world doesn't even care to tell you the truth about things, and yet people still fall for it. There's one as you drive, especially down through the South, there's a lot of it. There's the Lion's Den Adult Superstore. And I thought, you know what? They use this word adult. And I'm like, and you know what's funny is when you see it going down there, and some stretches of road, it's like every fifth sign is one of those, you know? But I was looking at it, and they've got a heart, and then they've got the shadow silhouette of a lion's head in that heart from the side. I thought, dude, you're advertising it. The devil wants your heart. How many people? And then this cracks me up. Southern Exposure, with a capital X, Gentleman's Club. It's not what you would consider a gentleman. So not every sign you see is going to be helpful. Amen? Better pay attention. Now, what I find interesting here, turn back to Numbers chapter 16. Numbers chapter 16. He says these men here became a sign. Well, what kind of sign are you? Hey, when people see you, you're a sign of something. Your life is a sign of something. It's like I said in Sunday school. Hey, you say, well, I can't teach people. You and I teach people by how we live. Amen. How you live your life is teaching the people around you. That's a sign that's given a message to you. Number 16, verse 1 says, now Korah, the son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, famous in the congregation, men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord. You know what you find here? You find pride at work. First thing you can do is hang a sign around them that says pride. Well, they were famous. And then you know what they do? And people do this all the time to a preacher. You know what they say? The preacher gives them a message and they say, well, who does he think he is? You're going to tell Moses and Aaron, who do you think you are? Now, here's the other thing. You're not any better than anybody else. Everybody around here is the same. What do you mean? Everybody here's... Well, if everybody was the same, then why did God pull these two men out? Why'd God call Moses if everybody else was the same? The bottom line is everybody else ain't the same. And they weren't on a spiritual crowd, or they wouldn't have let this crowd rise up. They got a bunch of famous people. And just like today, you get some of these Hollywood stars. I'm going to stand for this cause. And I look at them and I'm thinking, well, who are you? Who are you in the world that I'm supposed to listen to you? Some of these actresses get up there, they're flaunting their body over the place, and I'm supposed to take them serious about their concept of anything? When they're using their body to sell whatever it is they have? Amen? I'm serious. You say, is that chauvinistic? No. You want to complain about how men take advantage of women, but you'll use that body to make every penny you can, girl. Whether you're in Hollywood or in a street corner, what's the difference? You got paid more? And then you're going to tell me what I'm supposed to be listening to or how I should guide my life when you're guiding your life strictly by the lust of the flesh and all the worldly desires, and somehow that's your opinion is what's supposed to sway me? It's a sign, but it's not a good one. Amen? In Numbers 16, verse 10, it says, "And he hath brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee. And seek ye the priesthood also, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is there that you murmur against him?" The sign could read pride, and it's a warning. Pride is a warning sign. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. These guys are getting ready to experience a serious, serious fall. It's interesting because it says pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit. That's proud and disdainful, having a high opinion of oneself with contempt for others. They're the perfect definition of that. So what happens to them? Verse 28, Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." He said, you know what, if they just die like anybody else dies, God didn't send me. Do you realize what a high order Moses is putting God to test with here? If they just die a regular death, then God's not with me. Amen? But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit. You know what the pit is in the Bible? It's hell. He said, the earth's going to swallow, Chris, the earth is going to open up and they're going to drop straight to hell. Amen? He said, then ye shall understand these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertaineth unto Korah, and all their goods. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And all Israel that were round about them fled at the cry of them, for they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. God opened up the earth and swallowed up the main folks and the other folks that followed them. God went ahead and just sent down fire and torched up the whole thing. You think God's playing around with sin? Think God's playing around with that? You know what he said that is? That's a sign. You know, it's a sign for when God establishes authority, you better be very careful about rebelling against that authority. Amen. Now, the thing is, we don't like the word submission because we all know somebody that was in authority that abused their authority. Is that right? We all know somebody that abused their authority. But listen, because a person abuses that authority does not change the fact that God establishes authority. Amen. And you know what God did? He put Moses there and said, Moses, and Aaron, you're going to lead these people. And these people were famous, man. They're famous. They're somebodies. And them somebodies said, who do these nobodies think they are? They're not any better than anybody else around here. Who do they think they are to say they're going to lead us? Well, I said, well, all right. Well, if God didn't call me, then, you know, you'd die the common death. But if God put me here, then let him do a new thing. Buddy, here's your sign. Open up, screaming. We're not even talking about dying to death here and the soul going. We're talking about screaming, going down, and then God just closed it back up. And then them 250, you know there had to be a moment of trepidation there. And then the Lord said, oh, I didn't forget you guys either. You know what that's called? A sign. Posted up big and loud. Pride. Pride. Amen? In 1 Samuel chapter 2, it said, and this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas, and one day they shall die, both of them. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. God does not put up with rebellion and sin and wickedness. Now we know that God is patient and God's long-suffering. But here in 1 Samuel 2:22 it says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Lord's people to transgress. If one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord, who shall entreat for him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, so because the Lord would slay him." You know what happened? They wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. And when their dad tried to give him some correction, and there may have been more he could have done or should have done, but the bottom line is they're not listening. And look over in 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 17. The battle takes place against the Philistines, and Israel doesn't fare well. And in 1 Samuel 4:17, it said, "The messenger answered and said, Israel has fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people, and thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead, and the ark of God is taken. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died, for he was an old man and heavy. And he had judged Israel 40 years. And his daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered. And when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and travailed, for her pains come upon her." See, that's a serious stress that put her into labor right now. "And about the time of her death, the women that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Now, you know what I find interesting there? Is when that old man heard his sons were dead, that didn't bother him like it did when he heard the ark of God was taken. The ark of God represented the presence of God in the camp of the children of Israel. And it's like now God is gone, and he knew that if God was gone, his presence was gone, everything was at loss. And fell over backwards. I can almost imagine him just going, ah! And over he goes. Break his neck. And then this woman, obviously far enough along to have this baby to survive, goes into labor because of all of the stress on her, all of this that's going on. And what does she name her kid? Ichabod. The glory of God's departed. You see, what do we see in this story? We see these boys full of rebellion, sin, and wickedness. Now, it looks like they're getting by with it for a while, don't it? But you know what it is? Now they become a sign. Turn over to Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. Ezekiel chapter 14. You know, these things are stuff that we see and we understand even in our life, in our world today. Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 6. "Therefore say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, Repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel, the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separateth himself from me, and setteth up his idols in his heart, and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and cometh to a prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man, and I will make him a sign and a proverb. And I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord." He said he'd make him a sign, but then he also says, I'll make him a proverb. That means it's a well-known truth or common fact ascertained by experience or observation. Here we say, here's your sign. Young people, when we say there's an example, we show you where somebody got involved with something, and we show you the tragic end, here's your sign. When we show you what happens when people get out into sin and the consequences, here's your sign. God said, I'll make them a sign and a proverb. I'll tell you a short proverb. Remember, Lot's wife. Amen. You know what God did? God made her a sign and a proverb. As soon as anybody said, remember Lot's wife, everybody knew what was happening. Why? That name now is not only a sign, it's a proverb. Amen? Look over in Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy chapter 28. You have to be careful because we are a sign or even a proverb. You think about this. I'll just say like Joseph, for example. Somebody say, hey, what do you know about that Joseph? Say, man, he's a good guy. I said, he'd do anything he can to help you. He'd give the shirt off his back. Yeah, it's a common saying. It's saying that guy is really helpful and will do everything he can to help you. And we say, he'll give you the shirt off their back. You know what that is? Hey, your life is a sign. Your life is a proverb. What's it telling other people? What's it telling other people? Look at this here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 36. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. He said he'd make him an astonishment. You know what that is? Astonishment is an amazement, confusion of mind from fear, surprise, or admiration at an extraordinary and unexpected event. An astonishment. Can you imagine the nation of Israel, all that God did with them, and then they turn against God, and then God judges them, and other people look at them and say, that's the children of Israel? Wasn't the children of Israel those ones that God took through the Red Sea, delivered them out of Egypt, and got them across the Jordan River? And I mean, man, look what he did, all that stuff. That's them? That's them people that used to go in church, that was in the choir, and went on visitation and everything, and that's that guy down on 3rd and Main Street, all curled up with a bottle in a paper bag. That's him? Astonishment. You always say, wonder what happened to them. Did you hear of so-and-so in jail? So-and-so in jail? Wasn't that guy that was the youth leader here? Wasn't that the song leader over here? Wasn't that the bus director over here? Wasn't that preacher over here? You know what those are? Those are signs. Signs. And then he said a byword. It's a common saying. It says a saying that has a general currency. I'll tell you one that's one today that we use. And listen, if y'all see a lady and she's acting really out of character or doing something you might call ignorant, what do we call them today? Karen. Right? Come on now. You all know that, people. I heard somebody say something, that person's a Karen. And I went, their name's not Karen. Like, I know they are a Karen. I'm like, where's the Karen? I thought Karen was a name. Right? But you know what? Your names get associated by different things. I'm like, how many ladies want to name their daughters Jezebel? Everyone name your daughter Jezebel? I don't know how many of you are looking for like Adolf Hitler, maybe. Your boy, hey, Adolf, come on over here. Name doesn't have a good... Judas? Huh? You know, I mean, you just think about those names people call stuff. You always talk about Israel? When people say Israel, they go, ooh, Israel. Oh, man, not Israel. What if somebody calls out your name? What's it associated with? What is your name a sign of? Is your name a sign of faithfulness? Is your name a sign of charity? Is your name associated with Christianity? Is your name associated with being a Christian? Or is your name just associated with being a churchgoer? I'm just saying, God said, look, I'm going to make him a sign. He said, I'm going to make him a sign and a proverb. He said, thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, a byword. Psalms 44:13, he said, thou makest us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorner and a derision to them that are round about us. Thou makest us a byword among the heathen and a shaking of the head among the people. Y'all know what that is, right? A shaking of the head. We all do it, and most of the time you do it subconsciously. That's why a lot of times we can tell what you're thinking and what's going on, because you react a lot subconsciously. See, like even when I said that, there's a lot of you, you agreed with that, and you were nodding your head yes as you were acknowledging it in your head. You didn't say the word yes. And if somebody said, you agreed with that, you could go, no, I didn't, but you did. It was manifest by how you do that. Our facial expressions and all that play a part in that. And when a person does that, so when you say, did you hear what happened to that person? They were awful and they were wicked and they did all this stuff there. And she is trying so hard to absolutely control every emotion in her body. But it's okay. I wasn't going to pick on you. I was going to pick on her, but it's okay. But you know what? But you know what happens? When somebody, you all find yourself doing this, somebody will start telling you about something terrible that happened to somebody, and you'll stand and you'll be going like this. And you're like, oh, wow, that is terrible. I can't believe that is awful. I mean, all those things go through your head. Man, y'all are trying to control yourself, so just relax. It's okay. It's okay, I promise. The sad part is it's so obvious you're trying to control yourself. Just relax. It's okay. I'm not after anybody. It's all right. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just funny. Because you don't believe how much you do without even trying, and trying to stop that is more effort than you. Just let it go. It's all right. It's all right. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 9. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a byword. I don't want to be when somebody mentions my name that there's a shaking ahead among the people. 1 Kings chapter 9. He says, but if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people, and at this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? The question is why? The answer is they turned from following God. That's why. The heart turns away from God and the body follows. It said, and they shall hiss. You know, in the Bible, hiss, there's two ways that you can use the word hiss. We think about it like an animal and it goes, sss. But you know what hiss also is? Hiss is that air that passes over your lips when you look at something and you go, whew. Had to wet the whistle, amen? When you go, whew. Wow. Who said your Bible's out of date? They don't know what they're talking about. Man still responds that way. But here's the thing. We don't want that to be our life. They're shaking their head and whistling at it going, wow, how did it end up like this? How did it end up like this? How did they end up like that? You know why? The heart turns from God. And when the heart turns, the body follows. It's really just that simple. Somebody said, well, when you get out of church and backslide, you're not going to get out of church and backslide. You're not going to do that. I promise you, Stephen, you're not going to get out of church and then backslide. You're going to backslide sitting right there, then you're going to get out of church. Amen. If you ever do. Don't. Amen. You understand? It happens in the heart while you're in here before you get out there. Amen. Everybody that ever backslid on God backslid in church before they ever got out of church. We think in our mind, boy, they got out of church, now they're backslidden. No. They were backslidden and made the decision before they ever got out of the building. We associate with the building. It's a heart issue. They've already got their heart set on something or someone else already. They just need the opportunity. They're just looking for the excuse, the reason. And all the devil has to do is stir up somebody else to say something dumb to them, and then that's their reason. They're gone. I can't believe how they treated me there. Do you know what that guy said? You've already got in your heart that if someone says something or does something, you're out of here. I was talking to a fellow this week. He was seeking some counsel about some things, and I told him, I said, you know what the bottom line is you decide to stay right with God regardless of what anybody else does. When Paul and them were about ready to be shipwrecked and some of the folks wanted to get off the boat, and Paul said, everybody's got to stay on the boat. And they kept him on the boat. You know what you got to do? You got to stay with the boat. Amen. You got to stay with the ship. And you know what happens to a lot of people? They're just looking for a reason to get off the boat. Just a reason to abandon ship. I've had people tell me, well, so-and-so, and y'all have seen it here. People get mad and leave, and then their friends leave. And you're like, why are you leaving church? Well, my friend left. Reed, I can't help it. I go back to my mom when I was a little kid wanting to do something my friend does. Well, if they jump off a cliff, are you going to jump off a cliff too? How many of us ever heard that? Right? So it just means just because they do something stupid doesn't mean I got to be stupid too. They say, well, have you ever had good friends of yours leave the church? Yeah, I've had some people that were really good friends. They made dumb decisions, but because they did doesn't mean I have to. Well, they're my friend. If I'm really their friend, I'll keep doing right, hoping maybe they'll turn around. That's the right way to do it. It's not trying to accuse or do anything. It's saying, no, I'm going to keep doing right. If Brother Frank quits today, I'm not going to quit. If you quit today, I'm not going to quit. If I quit, you better not quit. And I don't plan on quitting. Why? Listen, you can't just go by all the emotions. What it is, your heart ain't right. If your heart's right with the Lord, it's like, I'm in this thing to the end. Amen? Are you in it to the end? You take it all the way. Hey, Paul said that they all had to stay, and they thought it was a hopeless situation, but did they not all make it to shore all right? Some swam, some on boards, some floating in, some kicking in. They all made it. I don't want to be associated with being a byword and astonishment. Amen. Listen, God doesn't want us to be ignorant. He tells us in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That's why he tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed. What? Lest you fall. And that means pay attention to the signs. You know, one thing that we found over the years, and we've had a couple garage sales. You know, it's amazing is how many people don't even know how to put up garage sale signs to get people to their house. They put up one sign in one spot and expect when somebody goes into a big neighborhood, everybody knows where that house is. And they wonder why nobody comes by. We learned over the years, if you want people to come by your place, you've got to make your signs good to where they can tell where your place is. And my wife was telling me a half a dozen times over this last one that we had there with the sign she put out, people made comments about that. Man, you guys put out some really good signs to get to the sale. We was able to, it's back where we're at now, you got to make some different turns to get where we're at. But you know what happened? Good signs helped them. That's this sign, go here. You ever know, now maybe a lot of you don't follow maps, you got GPS, and I understand GPS, but I still check out maps. And yet you know, you go down here and you look for this sign here. Street signs. You ever go to find a street and the street sign's missing? Isn't that annoying? You drive by and you're like, well, it should be right. Well, I didn't see a sign. Go back and you're looking. Well, it's got to be right. And you go by. And then you eventually look around and it's like, well, it must be it because everything else has got a sign, but this one don't. And then you finally pull in there and they're like, what took you so long? It'd been helpful if your sign would have been up about what street this is. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. left at the red barn down by the big oak tree, brother. Yeah, I understand how that works. Amen? But you see, that's what we're talking about, though. But listen, signs have a purpose. You and I are signs for people. We have a purpose. And that purpose is to point people to the Lord. And maybe sometimes in our life what we go through, just like Brother Frank going through a difficult time, that kid writing him a note. Hey, he's a sign to that boy that even in the midst of troubles in your life, you can have joy and you can have peace. So I come to your class, why? You're happy. He's not happy that his grandkids got cancer. He's happy because he has the joy of the Lord and knows that God has everything under control. It doesn't mean that it might not be a hard situation. But you know God is with you and God's going to see you through and he still gives you something you got to do even in the midst of your troubles. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:6, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly." So you know what he said? He said, I'm gonna show them a sample of how I handle sin and wickedness. And he rained down fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. And listen to me, and that fire and brimstone raining down on Sodom and Gomorrah is still an example and a sample today of how God deals with wickedness. He's not playing games. God gives us many, many signs to heed. Let me ask you something. Are you heeding the signs? He's trying to show you things. Are you listening? Here's your sign. Pay attention. You say, well, I can't believe this and that happened. God's holding up, here's your sign. Pay attention. Well, I can't believe this happened over here. Here's your sign. Pay attention. Warning signs, falling rocks, yield, stop signs. And then ultimately, what kind of sign are you? When people are going down the street of life and they come by you, what kind of sign are you? You know, what's interesting is that with a lot of the technology, a lot of stuff has changed. And now you got some of the signs. You get some of the areas where there's typically heavy fog, some of those places up in the mountains. Now they've got LED lights that have a message on them. And it shines through that fog. You can see them pretty good considering the fog. And some of the lights, when you're going down some of those mountains, I noticed the other day, when you go down some of the mountains and you're making a turn, you know, like you'll see the signs spaced out and they have arrows on them. Now some of those, they've actually got lights around those arrows, and those lights will blink in a row. And that, you know, this doing, that's showing you even ahead of time. You can see in the dark, because a lot of those signs at nighttime, you can't see them until you're right up on them with your headlights. But if you're back about a quarter mile, also you see these lights as you're coming up, you can see those lights are showing you there's a curve ahead. And listen, on some of these mountain roads, it's really good knowledge. Amen? You need to slow down. When I was driving home yesterday, just got up into the mountains, and I was telling my wife earlier it was really clear sky and everything, and after I hung up with her, I hit rain all the way till I hit the Ohio border. I was like, well, those clear skies disappeared really quick. But you know what? You get down some of those mountain roads there right when it first starts raining. You got that oil and stuff on the roads. I'm telling you what, you don't want to lose it coming down them hills, mountains. There ain't nowhere to go but some guardrails. And I went by one, and there was a guardrail. There was probably about 50 feet of that guardrail. It was just all shredded up. And I thought, man, probably one of them semis hit that. But I thought, whoever hit that, son, that was a bad hair day right there. That's a bad hair day right there. You won't be hitting the guardrails. Amen? You know something happened to some of you Christians? You're bouncing off guardrails. Here's your sign. Slow down. Amen? Dangerous curves. Life's an interesting journey. What kind of sign are you? And are you paying attention to the signs God's given you? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love, your mercy, your grace, your kindness. Lord, thank you that you do give us signs. You do warn us. You do help us. And God, there's many times that we don't heed those signs because we think we know better. And I pray, God, that you would just help us, God, to take heed to those things. And Father, that we would look at our life and examine our own heart and ask ourselves, what kind of sign are we to the people around us? Lord, what kind of message are we giving out about our life to the life of others? Are we a message of hope? Are we a message of damnation? Are we a sign of life or a sign of death? I pray, Lord, you'd help us to walk with you the way that we should. God, that we might be a help and a blessing to people as they take this journey called life. Pray that you'd speak to our hearts and help us. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Light from the Word, a ministry of Liberty Baptist Church. If you are in the Dayton, Ohio area, we would love to have you join us in person. We are located at 6953 Germantown Pike in Moraine, Ohio. Our regular service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., Sunday morning service at 11 a.m., Sunday evening service at 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening service is at 7 p.m. On October 31st, we will have our fifth Sunday fellowship and the first day of our fall revival meeting with Brother Steve Hart. We will have food and fellowship following the morning service. The evening service will be at 3 p.m. Our fall meeting will continue through Thursday night, November 4th, at 7 p.m. each night. Once again, thank you for listening to Light from the Word. Until next time, thank you and good day.